If you will, please go to Job chapter number 24. I'll preach a message this morning that you may say, well, I didn't get a whole lot of new things here. And yet this may be one of those cases where you have a lot of things that you've known about, but they're brought together into one message. If you will, look at verse number 13. Job chapter number 24, verse number 13, the Bible says, "They are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof." Job chapter number 24, verse number 13, I want to take as my text these words. "These are of those that rebel against the light." I want to preach for a little while on this subject, light haters and darkness lovers. Earlier, of course, I took as a text the word why, and we might think about the question why. Why does God allow some things? Why does God allow the righteous so often to suffer and the wicked to prosper? Why does God allow wicked men to continue to live, even though that while they live, they do wickedness? Job 24 tells of the thief, the oppressor, the murderer, and the adulterer. Why does God allow men to continue to live? God gives them breath. God gives them the ability to continue on. Why does God allow wicked men to continue to live and work their wickedness, and so many times in working their wickedness to hurt other people? And of course the Bible speaks here in this particular chapter of ones that are victims of wicked men. God sometimes allows wicked men to have two things. You might say God gives them two things. First of all, we might think that sometimes God allows the wicked to be in safety, and God also allows the wicked to be exalted. Look, if you will, beginning with verse number 23. The Bible says, "Though it be given to him," or given him, "to be in safety," the wicked man, "though it be given him to be in safety, whereon he resteth, yet his eyes are upon their ways." Then the Bible says, beginning of verse 24, "They are exalted for a little while, but are gone, and brought low. They are taken out of the way as all other, and cut off as the tops of the ears of corn. And if it be not so now, who will make me a liar and make my speech nothing worth?" We might think of sometimes God allowing the wicked to be in safety, temporarily, but still to be in safety and to be exalted. But let us remember two things. God's eyes are always upon the wicked. God knows what they are doing. And God shall bring the wicked and unrepentant sinner low. God shall bring him down. And this shall not continue. God does allow it. For a while God allows it. But still, it is temporary. It comes to an end. Now here we'll look beginning with verse number 13. The Bible says there, "They are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. The murderer, rising with the light, killeth the poor and needy, and in the night is as a thief. The eye of the adulterer waiteth for twilight," the twilight, "saying, no eye shall see me, and disguiseth his face. In the dark they dig through houses, which they had marked for themselves in the daytime. They know not the light, for the morning is to them even as the shadow of death. If one know them, they are in the terrors of the shadow of death." Here we might think about how that wicked men often use the darkness to cover their wicked deeds. First of all, consider this. Two kinds of light that wicked men often avoid. First of all, physical light. Wicked men oftentimes do their work at the time of dusk, or during the dark, or in the dawning. And yet many times they may avoid doing their wicked works in the broad daylight. And so oftentimes the wicked men avoid being involved in their wickedness in the light. They like to work in the darkness. I find it interesting that the Bible tells us about His creatures and how God and the Lord is so wonderful and He's so wise and how that He has set up the creatures for the creatures of the earth to live. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 104 and verses 20 through 24, "Thou makest darkness and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches." And so we might think about the man working, perhaps working in the field. Maybe being in the field from daylight to dark, but coming in from the field. And then after the man has come in from the field, in the darkness, dangerous beasts coming forth, such as lions coming forth, and seeking a prey. And then, when the sun begins to come up and the light begins to dawn, think about the lions going back to their dens, while man comes forth once again to work. God, of course, has set things up so well so that men and beasts can still do what they do in this life, and so often there's not a conflict between them. God is so wise in how He has set things up. But there are some other dangerous creatures that come out at night. Wicked men come out at night, and wicked men do wicked things at night. The Bible, ten times in the Scriptures, the Bible uses the word brutish. When we think about brutish, we might think about being animal-like, being savage, being unreasonable. And of course, many a man is a brutish man. Many men, especially when I think about the kind of people that are spoken of here, people doing terribly wicked things and cruel things to other people, being like animals, and it might be said even worse than animals in how they treat other people. And so the wicked men, the terribly wicked men, may come out at night and they may steal and murder and commit adultery. They may oppress other people. They may use the darkness to cover their wickedness. The book of 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 12 says this, "But these as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption." Now, so first of all, we might think about the fact that oftentimes wicked men use the physical darkness, or they hide from the physical light. In fact, as we look at this scripture that I've read from chapter number 24, verses 13 through 17, look at how the wicked men use the darkness. But then we might also consider wicked men are trying to avoid spiritual light. And they try to avoid both physical light and spiritual light. Now, a person may say, a wicked man may say, "Well, I go to work, I provide for my family, I pay my bills, I'm not out there trying to steal from people, I'm not an adulterer, I'm not a murderer." And yet at the same time, the man that is unsaved, is a Christ rejecter, still lost and on his way to hell, that man may show the signs of his wicked heart as he avoids spiritual light. Oftentimes a person like that, he won't go to the Bible to find truth. He won't go to church to hear truth. He won't have free conversations with someone that is saved and talks freely about spiritual things. So often men show where they stand by the fact that they are avoiding spiritual light. The book of John, chapter number 5, verses 39 and 40, the Bible says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Then, that next verse, verse number 40, the Bible says, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." And so often a person in this country, a person that has easy access to a Bible, has easy access to spiritual truth, will not search the Scriptures and will not come to Christ, but instead avoids spiritual light. Just as old man that is so obviously and terribly wicked may avoid being out in the daylight doing his wicked work, the man that is lost and on his way to hell so often, he avoids spiritual light. And so think about those two kinds of light that wicked men avoid. Then number two, why do sinners avoid the light? First of all, because of the authority above them. Sometimes a man may hide his wicked works because there is some authority. It might be because he doesn't want to get caught by the police. There is some authority above him. Teenagers sometimes may go out and carouse, do wicked things, but they may try to hide it from their parents because they have an authority above them and they are concerned that they might be punished for what they do. But of course, there's one inescapable authority. He's the highest of the high. There's a God that looks down upon men and he sees what they are doing and they cannot escape God. Then secondly, we might think about, in relationship to why sinners avoid the light, because of shame, because of the peers about them. Thank the Lord that sometimes a person is in the midst of some others that have some higher standards than they do, that have some better morals than they do, and sometimes because of their peers. An individual may not stoop as low as he might stoop because his peers would look down upon him. His peers would shun him. They would think lowly of him if he stooped to that low level of degradation. You may read testimonies, you may hear people testify of how that they were going along with their friends and then finally they started doing things that even their friends detested. And thank the Lord when sometimes there are people that are about an individual that help to keep him somewhat in check at least because of that peer pressure. Why do wicked men avoid the light, the authority above them? Shame because of peers about them and because of pain from the conscience within them. And then we might consider as well because of the sin nature that they have. The individual avoids the light, rebels against the light, in obedience to, as it might be said, in cooperation with that sin nature that is within him. Now someone might say, isn't it so that oftentimes a sinner is very bold and very open about his sin? Isn't it so that oftentimes sinners do things in public? They do things in the broad daylight? And so, why is it that sometimes sinners, they don't try to hide what they do? And in our day, there's such a brazenness about sin. And you may see on the news, you may hear reports about people doing things that are terribly brazen that years ago you just would not heard much about, not heard it being done very often. But in our day, there's so much terrible wickedness right out in the open. So why is it that that is the case? Well, sometimes a person has decided that the authority above him is impotent. They do not have the power to punish him. They don't have the ability to punish him. They might think that the authority above them is ignorant, doesn't even know what they're doing. They may even sometimes think that the authority above them is apathetic, doesn't really care, and sometimes they may think that the authority above them is sympathetic to what they are doing, in agreement with what they are doing. And honestly, in our day, some of this rioting that has gone on, I believe that there have been city officials, there have been people in high places that have actually been sympathetic with some of the wicked things going on, and they've allowed it to go on. But it is true that with God, the highest authority. He is not ignorant of what they are doing. He is not impotent to do something about it. He is not apathetic concerning what they are doing, and certainly is not sympathetic to what they are doing. But sometimes a person may come to a point where he feels that even God cannot stop him and does not see him. Ecclesiastes chapter number 8, verse number 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Psalm 10 tells about wicked men. In verse number 11 of Psalm 10, the Bible says, He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. And Psalm 10, verse number 13, He hath said in his heart, Thou wilt not require it. And so if a person convinces himself, the authority is above me, and even God do not see me and cannot stop me, then they may decide, well, I'll just go ahead and do what I want to. Then also, if they're in a group of peers that are in agreement with what they're doing, if they're in a group of peers that do not condemn what they do, and in fact, even encourage what they are doing, so they don't feel any shame from the peers about them, then they may just go ahead in the wickedness that they want to do. And then if their consciences have been seared with the repeated contact with the hot iron of sin, they may become so insensitive that they may finally come right out in the open and do what they want to, not feeling the pain of conscience that they would have once felt. Then number 3, what are some of the sources of light that wicked men often avoid? The Bible says, But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. First of all, physical light. The moon, the sun, the electric lights. Of course, the man that wants to rob, the man that wants to kill, the man that wants to vandalize, he may avoid places of physical light. And those things can sometimes be a deterrent. Just simply having lights can sometimes be a deterrent to someone coming and stealing or vandalizing. But then also there's the spiritual light, the sources of spiritual light that God has given. And thank God for all of those sources of spiritual light. First of all, let us consider Jesus Christ Himself. The Bible talks about Jesus Christ as the true light that lighteth every man which cometh into the world. The Creator Christ put light within man. He gave a man some light. In fact, in addition to spiritual light, we may also think about natural light. So, a physical light that is outward, and then we might think about natural inward light, and the Creator Christ gave the individual, every person, He gave each individual some light. Romans chapter number 1. Wicked sinners know there's a God. Wicked sinners know there's a judgment to come. Romans chapter number 2, verse number 15. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or excusing one another. And that is speaking about Gentiles that had no copy of the Mosaic law, yet God gave them inward light. God made them conscious of some truths. There is a God. There's a judgment to come. There is right and wrong. And so, this Christ, this Creator Christ, gave men and every baby that's born, God gives each one a gift of a consciousness. So they as they develop, they can come to that realization of some basic truths. So God gives men light. But then we might think about Jesus Christ as well as He walked upon the earth. In John chapter number 8 and verse number 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And of course, John chapter number 1, light and life are certainly related. John chapter number 9, verse number 5, and notice these words, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Now, Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus spoke in particular about the fact that as long as He was in the world, He was the light of the world. But of course, He was crucified. He was resurrected. He ascended. And so are we without light? Certainly we're not without light. Because Jesus Christ left, but He sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is certainly a great source of light, so that people can have some light, and they can find by the grace of God how to get to God and how to live for God. And so another great source of light is the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says in John 14, verse number 26, "He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." John 16, 8, "And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." John 16, verse number 13, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth." The Holy Spirit reproves sinners, lost sinners, of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And then once a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit guides the individual that's saved by the grace of God. He is able to guide him into all truth as the individual follows the leadership of the Lord. And so we've got the great source of light, Jesus Christ Himself, the light of the world, one that lighted every man that came into the world. Then we've also got the source of light, the Holy Spirit. Then we've got the source of light, the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalm 119, verse number 130, "The entrance of Thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." And thank the Lord for the light provided in the Word of God. The entrance of God's Word giveth light. It is so important for sinners to hear the Word of God. By sinners hearing the Word of God, there's light that comes in. But it's also so important for saints to hear the Word of God, because through the Word of God, light comes in. And then also, there's the light of Christ-like believers. And thank the Lord for every Christ-like believer upon the face of this earth today. Thank the Lord for all of those lights, as it might be said. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 14, "You are the light of the world." Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." It's interesting. We are to let our lights so shine before men. Not that men would glorify us, but that men would glorify the Father. We might think about the light of the world, Jesus Christ, but then we'll also think about the lights of the world. You and I, as we go out in this world and we are living Christ-like lives. And so often God uses a saved sinner to help a lost sinner, giving him some light through that saved sinner. We might think as well What are three common characteristics of the terribly wicked men? Let's go back to Job chapter number 24. Job chapter number 24, and beginning with verse number 13. Let's read verse 13. They are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. First of all, the terribly wicked men, such as are described in Job 24, have rebelled against the light. They have light. Every terribly wicked man in this world has light. But they have rebelled against the light that God has given them. John chapter number 3, verses 19 and 20. This is a condemnation that light has come to the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Of course, it's not just true about those that are terribly, terribly wicked. You can find people in this world that have committed crimes, that have done things that are so inhumane. It may almost be unimaginable that someone would do such a thing. But that individual had light. But then again, we might think about the self-righteous person coming to church, but he's never been saved by the grace of God. He goes along. He knows the language. But he's never been saved by the grace of God. In both of those cases, they have light. And they have rebelled against the light that God gave them. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter number 1, the wrath of God shall be poured out upon men. They shall be without excuse. Romans 1, verses 21 and 22. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's a dark road. David O'Dell, I guess he introduced me to the term. I don't know if I'd ever heard it before, this idea of a dim road. But really it makes sense, a dim road. You may think about a road that goes out in the woods, and a dim road. The way of the wicked is a dark road. It starts out when they know God, but they don't glorify Him as God. They turn away, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. It's a dark road. It's a road that leads downward. It's a road that leads to degradation. Look on farther in Romans chapter number 1. It is a road that leads to destruction. I preached in the past, or at least made mention in the past, of two Romans roads. And oftentimes you may hear about the Roman road to salvation. And thank the Lord that we've got salvation scripture in the book of Romans. But there's another road. That's the Romans road to damnation. And many a man refuses the Romans road to salvation and takes instead the Romans road to damnation, degradation. It's a dark road. In our day, I think there are so many living illustrations where men, they become vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart is darkened, they profess themselves wise and become fools. I believe there are so many people that could be used as illustrations of that. People that speak as though they're wise, they're fools. They've turned away from the truth that God gave them whereby they could be wise. Their foolish heart is darkened. And down, down, down they go. Then number two, They are ignorant of the ways of light. Now, common characteristics, three common characteristics of the terribly wicked found in chapter number 24, verse number 13. They have rebelled against the light. Number two, they are ignorant of the ways of light. A person can be reared in church. He may be very familiar with the terminologies that we'll use in church. He may be able to sing songs that we sing in church and even quote verses and still be ignorant of the things of light. Verse 13, there are of those that rebel against the light, they know not the ways thereof. And just because a person is in church, it certainly doesn't mean that he understands about the light and the ways of light. And then number three, they do not abide in the paths of light. The last of that verse, nor abide in the paths thereof. They're ignorant of the ways of light. They do not abide in the paths of light. 1 John chapter number 1, verses 6 and 7, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. And do not the truth, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Walking in the light and fellowship, they always go hand in hand. There's never a time that a person is in fellowship with God and walking in darkness. It is always that when a person is in fellowship with God, he walks in the light. But you may have a man out there that's done terribly wicked things, or you may have a person that sits in a church pew that doesn't know the ways of light, has rebelled against the light, and he does not abide in the paths of light. Now I want to briefly deal with the ends of those two paths. We might think about the end of those two ways, the path of light and the path of darkness. The path of darkness, of course, it leads to more darkness. It leads to everlasting darkness in hell. But then the path of light. We'll spend a little time here. The path of light. One of the wonderful things about the paths of light is they lead to more light and more light and more light. And some of you might be able to testify that when I first got saved, of course, I was so ignorant of things. And yet, God just kept giving me light and giving me light and giving me light. I came to more and more understanding of things. That's the way it is in the path of light. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 4, verses 18 and 19, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. I think that wording there is interesting. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more under the perfect day. The path of light. The path of light as you follow Christ gets brighter and brighter. You can have more and more clarity as you follow Christ farther down that path. Then, Ephesians chapter number 5. This ties right in, of course, what I've been dealing with lately from the book of Romans. Ephesians 5, beginning with verse number 8. The Bible says, for ye were sometimes darkness. That's interesting wording. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Proving what is that acceptable, or what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And then it goes on to speak of redeeming the time because the days are evil. The Lord tells us to walk as children of light. Then there's a parenthetical part about the fruit of the Spirit. You skip on ahead to the next part. Walk as children of light. And then it says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, Romans 12, 1 and 2. You're to beseech yourselves, or you're to present yourselves a living sacrifice, and so on. And of course, finally, so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's how you continue on farther and farther and farther in the path of light. The path of darkness is a downward path. The path of light is an upward path. The path of light is brighter and brighter as you go. And the path of light leads to the city of light. The Bible says in the Revelation chapter number 21, verse 23, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Revelation 22, verse number 5, "And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." The city of light. And some people are on the road, the path of darkness, and it gets darker and darker, and it goes lower and lower as they go, and it ends up in hell, the darkness of hell. But thank God, I'm on the path of light. It's an upward path. It grows brighter as I follow Christ, and it ends in the city of light. Thank the Lord, years ago I turned from rebelling against light and submitted to the light. I trusted Christ and was saved by the grace of God. And then, each one of us that are saved are to continue following Christ down the path of light. You and I are to continue proving what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. We're going to be redeeming the time as we follow Christ. If we are following Christ, we'll be doing those things. Going farther and farther on the way behind Christ in the path of light. If you will, please stand.